Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yes, welcome to Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Super League of Podcasts.
Yes!
It's going to be fucking wobbly.
You're right, isn't it?
It's going to be wobbly day. Trust me, and I think it's going to be between me and Andrew, so it could be the five of us.
But are you going to...
We've been here for half an hour, by the way, just talking about it before the cameras.
Are you going to say the things you've said off camera, or are you going to shut it?
Going to be even worse, Simon.
Is it?
I'm going to go extra today. I've got to be on... Honestly, I'm coming for people today, because there's a lot of... The word Simon begins with a big H, hypocrisy. Right, so tell Kevin, but
there's a hippo sitting next to you.
Simon, what about this man yesterday? You're absolutely magical.
The tempo was brilliant. The whole programme, the tempo was great.
Smooth. I tried to.
What was that? I thought you were a priest at first. That collar you had on. Was that a new shirt?
You know what? I actually panicked with the dress since. I thought I'm actually going to hit the dress up.
You didn't know.
What did the text you saying? Is it smart casual?
I don't know, side.
And you chose neither.
You know what? I actually genuinely thought. They asked me a week back saying, do we do the Schnorr Hibs game? I was like, I need bother. So planned it all. Guy phoned me up first night and says, do you need a hotel for Saturday night? I says, we need a hotel for me. I live in Cumbernauld. I says, just the studios is only along the road. He went, no, you actually got to go to the game. I said, no fucking way. So it was a wee road trip down to Schnorr.
You in the jet? Morning.
Me in the jet.
When did you
caught the sun, big man.
I was playing golf Saturday.
What a magic. What a weekend for that.
I know.
What a weekend for the young
no,
man.
No, bad when you play in the Premier League.
It's all right, isn't it?
No, I had to swap a shift.
Do you know, he's been a bit big time since he came in and he's been on the telly.
He finished
and he's telling you he's a sorted member. The way the BBC did it.
No, he's making me blush, your boys. No, it was good. Good experience.
Outstanding, sir.
Obviously, I will take over for Mikey and Tom.
Aye, absolutely.
Get us in there.
Fingers crossed, to ask you back, mate.
Were you proud of him? Were you proud of him watching him, guys?
Oh, I was very proud. I never watched it, but...
I was buzzing because I got to see some of the Hibs guys that I've slaughtered in the flesh.
Did you see any of you?
I did. I went and spoke to Big Portis after the game.
Did you?
In the flesh, that boy's got potential.
Oh, so you're back to that now that he's
played
up
ahead? He's
playing some Ronaldo, isn't he?
No,
I don't know
they're only playing Schnorr, but taken away from his Hollywood diags that he tries, he is a good, solid defender. And I think with more experience, he's got a big move in him.
Talking of diags, remember him that was on Essex?
Don't sign him, because I know you're going to hear it. Fucking knew it. That word diags, Andy, that word diags, if you've been with that last 2 years and people have been saying, I went, please, nobody say that to Essex.
Jank, you'll
come. Because he used to get called that when it first came out.
People used to always say that. I mean, what's happening? We didn't know you were on the show, diags. Give us a break, love, wouldn't
it? His nickname, diags, what's Craigan's?
Oh, good question.
You got anything?
Nah, crumbled.
Because Huggingfield, the road's getting done today.
Oh, is it?
The road's getting fixed, the potholes are getting filled in if you want to come.
Size, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, guys. A bad start to the show.
Where were you last week?
Busy, Simon.
Busy. Bigger, Super bigger things.
Mate, well, looking forward to that.
Were you part of the Super League meeting?
Part of the Super League. Oh, I went there, obviously, 10 years ago in Holland, and it didn't quite go that way. But in the right, here, Simon, in the right. So we move on.
Should we date the day about why the game was won?
Yes, of course we should. Well, do you know what? It's not been set up.
What I'll do, Simon, so we'll go set that is I'll warm that fucking windy up and throw the ball down. Because if you don't defend and don't take your chances, forget tactics, Andy. Am I right?
So am I right in saying Celtic, for some strange reason, lined up with the Diamond?
Did they line up with the Diamond?
Aye.
It was, wasn't it? Aye, it was. Edward up.
Yeah, it was, aye.
Brian McGregor.
Did you watch it?
I was watching it and it kept crashing, man, and I couldn't catch it all.
Right, so there we go. Rangers with a 3-8. Why you would want to give Nathan Patterson and Barisic that much time on the ball, I wouldn't know. But anyway.
And that's what they struggled with, Simon.
We've got to set up. Right. We've got to set up for later.
So the first question is,
what were the differences between the teams that saw Rangers beat Celtic at the weekend? Please want to start first.
Pretty simple.
Thanks, Paul.
Yes, go on then, Paul.
Simon, I've heard you in the last 2 years since I've met you. A lovely young man. You started and you became, and you always say the difference between Celtic and Rangers this year is in the boxes. I know you're really fond of the way Rangers set up and stuff, but the difference is in the two boxes, and yet again, it proved again. If you can't defend, and I'm going to say it right now, that defending you wouldn't expect for six-year-olds. That is not acceptable.
What would you say to six-year-olds that defend like that? Pathetic?
I'm pathetic, tell them I don't bring them back. You can come back to the mat. You can come back, but your son can't. Not at all. Listen, no, about all that. But what I'm saying on that game, defending was an absolute abysmal.
What's Laxalt doing? Why is he not tackling people?
Genuinely, it was honestly as if, see sometimes you do the games, what's that, like, non-contact?
Non-contact.
That's as if it was like that, but wasn't it? Have you ever seen Andy or Kev, or have you ever seen defending as bad as that at a club like Celtic? I can't imagine.
I think Derek McInnes said it as well, didn't he, in Premier after the game, and I think it was spot on. The main difference was in both boxes. I think we've said a few times on this show throughout the season, Celtic, a lot of big Achilles heel has been defending set pieces, and it's a willingness to go and attack the ball. For open play, it's a willingness to defend as well. See what you're saying
Stop
about, see what you're saying about Laxalt. Gordon Strachan came out and says that after the game that Ayer's the one closest to him, so he should be gone. I disagreed with that. Laxalt's a fullback. Why is Laxalt trying to run back into the box and glancing over his shoulder as if somebody going to do my job?
Yeah.
And then see when Joe Aribo beats him in the first place, there's no actual desire for him to actually get back in.
But see when Aribo beats Laxalt, I think Ayer should go to the ball.
Yeah, I don't.
Because as long as Aribo have a touch, I look up and then he just plays it across the front of the goal.
But that's where I would say Ayer defend your front post. The one ball that you can't allow is the one that in between one you and your goal.
Why?
See if Laxalt actually has a desire to get back into position, he probably gets it to maybe not fully stop the cross, but get a bit of contact towards Aribo. There was no actual
sprint
to get back into position.
See if Ayer does go out though, and then Rangers go and score, does that mean you would say, well, Ayer shouldn't have been out?
But why? Rangers only play one up front.
Ayer should go well.
So if Ayer's no match,
is this the second goal?
The second goal.
The second goal when the play linked up and Laxalt and Ayer. I would agree that I felt Ayer should have went and.
Why though? Why?
I would say why, because I'll tell you why. Because see, if you're a big dominant centre half, hear a bit of fucking balls about yourself and say, I'll go. If you make the area, put it on you.
I think that's a defender in general that should think that though.
Aye, no, all the problem with Celtic is, and defenders in general, some don't want to go and take responsibility. See there, you might have a wee bit of head loss and you go and say he does get by you, but I'm pretty sure that Ayer would have got closer to the man. Like Simon says, Laxalt could have tucked in and it might never got to the box. But even then, when it eventually got, see when they got back, And it obviously got across and it's come in. Why did Ayer no cover the front post? Why is he no defending the front post? He goes to a point, then he stops. I just think
But for me, that is growing up when a fullback's a 1v1, your midfielder always covers him. Now, I know they were only playing with a wide player, so it's usually the wide player that comes and backs his fullback up. So he has to, if he goes by him, he's there to cover. I really want my team to have my centre-half getting dragged away out. But maybe in that instance, he has to take it about himself. If I don't do it, then it's going to be, he's going to get the cross in. But I would want my midfielder to be covering that. Because I wonder if that can happen.
So what midfielder do you want to cover that?
That's what I'm saying. If it was wide players.
Well, the closest one to the ball. the closest midfielder to the ball.
I just think when the ball gets in that area of your box, the closest man has to get to the ball.
But Rangers don't defend with wingers, so I do agree with you. If they vote wingers, they double up on them. But that's what Rangers midfielders do. The outside midfielder shifts across
and helps the fullback.
And helps the fullback out. That's why they never get isolated
1v1. To be a professional,
Sorrow was good at doing that when the ball went out to the wide.
At the end of the day,
fullback goes out. Sorrow was the one that would cover.
At the end of the day as well, Laxalt gets there and he should never get beat.
The defending is piss poor. Like, he still got there, the defending is piss poor, but to be a professional footballer, you need something about you to get to that level. The fact that, like, say Ayer did go out, surely automatically Laxalt's got to think, oh, well, he's going there, I'll go in and cover for him. It's just natural. But they just don't seem, like, I think after the game, some of the summarisers said that Celtic are a team playing for individual performance rather than as a team performance. I think that situation identifies that nobody wanted to take responsibility to go and try and stop what was happening. And Laxalt, for me, he didn't play last week. So how is it that he didn't play last week and starts this week?
Why was Taylor not playing?
The Celtic fans and we can have an opinion of whether Greg Taylor, but defensively, Greg Taylor's far better than Laxalt. And Laxalt is a loney who's not had the greatest of times at Celtic since arriving. He's no fucking interested. He's going back to AC Milan regardless of what happens.
I mean, you wouldn't expect that for anybody. A player of that should be able to defend much better than that. And I think with Celtic's back five, that's the problem. They look so nervous back there. And as you know, as players, when you're playing, it doesn't matter if you're playing well and stuff and you've started well, whatever it is, as soon as it goes back there and a goal goes in, the confidence just comes right out of the whole team. And I think when you're looking at it, there was one where Celtic, they couldn't clear the ball for ages, snatching at things. And it doesn't look like a strong back five that at all.
Every time Ryan Kent got the ball in the edge of the box, petrified. Celtic were fucking petrified. Because Ryan Kent is a very, very good footballer. His feet are amazing. And he just would go one way, the other way, and nobody wanted to go close and make that tackle or try and put the foot in because they were worried in case of what he did.
But I thought they were like that all over the pitch, certainly, Kevin. I think that has been the problem all year. They didn't get out to the ball. Rangers let you come at a certain point and see when you get there. And then go and fucking pressure. Celtic just stand 2 or 3 yards off people. You can't do that.
John Kennedy said that after the game, didn't he?
He was spot on. Passive pressing.
For me, the game, the actual game yesterday was the best of all for him because I think for most part of the game or some part of the game, both teams showed that they can be good teams. For me though, Rangers just have so much more confidence, so much more self-belief, and I still thought Rangers were in second gear yesterday. I don't think Rangers were great again yesterday.
I would agree with you.
I think Rangers have got another 2-3 levels to their game, yet they come away winning 2-0. Celtic did have the chances, but just no conviction, no self-belief in the chance they had, because some of them were big chances. Watching the game yesterday, and my honest opinion was, see if it was 0-0, 1-0 and Rangers had to kick on. I think they kicked on. And we've all played in games where we've played against teams and thought, they've got another level. We played Villarreal in the first Europa League group stage, we do 2 each. Honestly, see it within the game, you just felt, they're playing within themselves here. They don't actually believe that we can take any points after them. We equalised to make it 1 each, they scored in the next minute to make it 2-1. They kept them off for the next 10 minutes. We broke away and made it 2-2 each. And then see for the last 10 minutes, it was the Alamo because they just kicked up a gear and our 2 gears. I honestly felt it was the same case with Rangers yesterday. Because even it went 2-0, how many times did Rangers get in good positions to counter-attack where it was Alfredo Morelos, Joe Aribo, and they just slowed the tempo right down and just kept the ball? I think their game management was good to see at the game, but I still think that they had another level.
I thought Rangers started much better and then they got the goal. But you said, Andy, last week, you would like to see Rangers maybe playing a bit deeper. See, after the first goal, I felt they did drop back.
Do you think they play like that now? I think they do play like that.
They've done that
every old firm. Yeah. So I think that's key for the coaching that to tell
them. I think they know if you can nick the ball off Celtic, you can hit it on the counter.
I watched the game, a lot of people that I was watching it with were like, Morelos has hardly touched the ball. He's not been in the game. That's the way Rangers played. And like, he didn't, like, if you think of how many touches he touched in that 90 minutes, the time he was on the park, he hardly touched the ball at all.
Nice, quiet.
But when it came, he just touched it, I think, but he was alive and then away in the box when needed to be. Rangers played there. To me, I don't know what the difference is, but Rangers are basically inside Celtic's heads now, and Celtic don't know what to do.
But do you know what annoys me? Like, I've argued with mates about El Yunus all the time, they love him, I think he's brilliant because he scored the goals, but it's easy chipping goalies against Livingston and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. See, when you get that chance at 2-0 and your first touch is like that,
Didn't even need
that's
to
where your judge is a Celtic player. No thinking goalies against Livingston, for not.
He didn't need to take that touch.
Why don't you hit it first time? Just stroke it into the net.
The chances were
Celtic had
massive.
Some massive chances.
Aye, the one they half chances. There were goal scoring opportunities should have been taken.
But that, we've said that Celtic are decent for box to box. It's just the ruthless moments inside both boxes not being given enough this year. But Edouard's performance, would you think anybody want
I don't like people saying.
I thought he was running about. I didn't think he chucked it.
I think
he had a bad game.
I hate when people say that Edouard's body language and all that, because even when Edouard's flying, he sometimes looks like that. I mean, he's got that sort of arrogance, he struggles about a wee bit. But
similar to yourself?
Very much so, Simon. Do you know what I mean? And no, listen, but I'm not having all this body language and he doesn't want to be there. We've got a month to go this season. So he knows if he's going to leave, he's going to leave. And I think yesterday he was just poor.
I would agree with that. He was just poor. He just had a really bad game. And no matter what he tried, just didn't come off. And then he thought, I'll get the penalty and that might get me going. And again, was it a bad penalty?
Penalty.
McGregor goes the other way. It looks like a great penalty.
What is it, side foot?
Side foot. I don't know.
I said as well, I was like, he's going to dink this. I thought he was going to dink it. I just had it in my head that he's going to dink this. But I've said it 20 times over. I think Edouard's Celtic's best player by a country mile. But you can actually see that he's no got any confidence, you know, he's no putting many self. See the one that they were talking about when it got flashed over and he went for that back heel. See if he's scoring goals, he's confident, he's in form. He just opens his body up and decides for it. He's got his feet set, his feet's on the move, he's sharp.
Like, was that not a red card, Aribo?
What one's that, mate?
A penalty.
A red card?
No, it's not. Is it a red?
No.
Is it? What, a push in the box?
But what was the point? See the rule in Scotland, see if you stop a goal scoring opportunity and you get a penalty, does that cancel the red card out?
No, you can't get both. I thought it was, I personally thought it was soft. I thought it was a penalty, but I thought it was soft.
It was a soft penalty,
But I don't think there was many complaints about it being a penalty, but I think Griffiths was quite clever, wasn't he? He got his body in the way and felt the contact and went over, but...
Forget about the tactics, guys. I mean,
is there anything you want to show that you,
Simon? Honestly, I'd love to pick up and throw it out there now because
just do it, just fucking do it.
But do you agree with me there though? Because the defending's that bad, there's no point in talking about tactics. If professional players are refusing to go and tackle or no man to defend, and when you've got clear cut chances, players bottling it in the occasion, so we can forget about tactics.
Do you know what the thing is with Celtic?
Did you notice just dangles and fitting, didn't he? He doesn't even try and get his ball.
Did you notice it, Andrew? Tactically,
for Rangers, first time that they've, in my opinion, changed slightly out of possession. I don't think they never know about that. Right. Show you.
Yeah, go for it.
Yes, Andrew. He's taking over that board.
Yes.
Gutted his board.
This is what I see, mate. Rains and blue.
So I sat there so I could see your back of head.
So Celtic's diamond.
The best thing you've done on that board was that Bobby.
Celtic's diamond.
Is that Bobby Madden?
Bobby Madden, I'd be better.
So Rangers, in my opinion, they always try and show a team one way. He'll push up there. If he comes, 9 times out of 10, it's that guy gets across. Fullback gets tight, but this guy slides across. Yesterday, instead of the front three who always defend narrow, Rangers defended like that, out of possession. So they try to stop that easy pass. Because that with Celtic up in a diamond, their only out ball 9 times out of 10 is going to be out wide. Yeah. And see if it comes in here to these middle four, Rangers would fancy themselves, like they said. They always try and condense space and make it hard for you to play through. So Joe Aribo and Ryan Kent, for the first time that I can remember Rangers playing like this for 2 years, actually defended wide and just stopped that pass. So Laxalt and Kenny, how many times when John Joe Kenny get the ball particularly, he just passed it back to me.
But why, see, at times though, Andy, do you not feel there's space in front of John Joe Kenny and he would rather just turn back and play back to the...
It's a willingness to take a touch forward and play forward.
Like, but when Patterson got it, his first touch was forward.
But Celtic didn't make it as difficult for Patterson to do that than Rangers did.
Is that merely the setup of the team then?
John Joe Kenny, the formation, John Joe Kenny. But that's the first time I've actually seen Rangers defend with two of the front three that wide and just made it hard for Rangers' first pass. Because see in here, they were quite hard. Scott Brown 9 times out of 10 had to drop in there to get the ball because Rangers were that compact.
Aye.
And then when they did, it was just sort of shifted side to side. And no, I think when Celtic showed real moments of quality, it was the periods where they got Tumbo in here.
He was still good again.
I thought in the first half especially, Rangers struggled to get close enough to them. And even when they did get close enough to him, he was still good in tight areas. And it was mere, if he did get it in tight areas, one of these was running behind and he would just sort of flick it around the corner and get in behind the midfield three. But that's so what that was
amazing.
What
you never seen Celtic either as well.
Come on, Simon.
Why not with these two up here? Not once did Edouard or El Yunusi want to run into this space.
When they did it once, El Yunusi, Celtic get in behind. It was when he got in behind to land a turn shot and then Edouard had that chance. That is something that...
If you're going to play a partner with Edward, he needs to run him back.
Aye, but that's...
Yeah. Come to feet. Does he love to come to feet, Edward?
That's something that we've spoke about, that Rangers are different for this year, because Rangers never really used to be a team that ran in behind a lot more and sort of breach with runners and be a bit more
direct. Like you said, Scott Brown, he was very deep. Like he was picking things up from the centre half, and it looked like at some points in the video that he was playing as a centre half, because all he was doing was getting it and going side to side, and he never really got close to anybody. Obviously, looking at the first goal when Kent kind of did the turn, he was miles off. It sold him a dummy. And I just feel like there's nobody in that team at the minute with the confidence and the belief to drive Celtic forward as a unit.
Yeah.
If nobody wants to grasp the team, and it used to be Scott Brown would get them going, whether it be a tackle or whatever would it be, but every tackle that Celtic made yesterday that were close were either fouls, they were late tackles because they just couldn't get close enough to Rangers. But it's a
see if one of yours get phoned tonight and says you're going to be Celtic manager the morning before that game. Which Rangers, they're trying to get to the fullbacks. They come in narrow and their fullbacks, if you play wide players, wingers, it makes the fullback think, am I going to keep bombing on?
Yeah.
Because for, I know Forrest wasn't there, but I don't know, maybe El Yunus wide or whatever.
So did you just think put Christy 4-2-3-1, was it?
I said to Sai off camera after the end of the show, because I don't know what he needs.
Too much tips,
of it.
You know
what I mean? But I think the way to stop an attacking fullbacks a lot of time is posing questions, are you going to go forward fast, stay high?
Yeah.
So Celtic played wingers.
Yep.
And actually told them no to track back.
Yeah.
Three, stay high. And then Giza Patterson and Barisic's an issue, like, I can't go here. The winger's staying high and wide. If I leave him, then...
And just let your midfield go over and deal
space,
with that.
The last Old Firm game, Celtic were dominant as well. But Barisic and... was it... who was the right back for Rangers at the time? I don't know if it was Tamara or Patterson.
Balligan
it was.
Morris Ross.
They were sat tucked in because they couldn't get out. Whereas yesterday, because Celtic playing the diamond, they could go forward, and they were going forward all the time. And they, like Simon says, and Andy, they weren't playing the diagonals in behind Rangers' back two, the full-back, so they didn't need to worry about what was going in behind them. And it just the game plan just suited Rangers. And
but that all been said, we talk about that, Celtic did have massive chances.
Yeah. They still had chances.
But was that down to like individual brilliance for a Turnbull?
Well, Patterson played the through ball, didn't he? He did have a fantastic game, the young boy, but he played the pass through. I can't remember.
The other one was direct ball in behind, well, El Yunus, the one we're talking about.
The one you're running behind,
obviously Welsh's in the first half was fair, sort of second phase for.
I don't think there was great spells of dominance there for either team really.
I don't think Rangers were made in control. I think it was the most competitive at all Old Firms where both teams are sort of nip and tuck. This is an unpopular opinion, but I don't think Celtic are as far away as people think.
Like you say, you find details.
Because at the end of the day, the majority in the core of their squad is still the squad that's won the last 12 trophies or whatever it is. But I just think Rangers are now are just in a very, very good place. I think if you still, in my opinion, if I had to pick the five best players on the pitch yesterday, I think five of them are Rangers players.
Turnbull goes in. Who's your
really?
Five?
First half, aye, but second half, I don't think he touched one second half. I think Turnbull was Celtic's best player.
So who's your five for Rangers?
Patterson. Kent, McGregor, Patterson, Davis,
Turnbull,
Aribo.
I'd probably say they four. Aribo.
I put Turnbull ahead of Davis. I thought Davis was quiet. I didn't think he'd done much.
I thought Davis was quiet in spells in the first half, second half. I thought he was superb. Mm-hmm. See, and then the opposite, I thought Turnbull was really good in the first half. And I thought he was quiet in the second half.
See, on the, did you, with Stratton, he was talking about people were saying the mentality of Celtic players, right? Because how can you throw that at Celtic players when they've won so much? But see, watching them this season, their mentality has, I don't know if, does it come down to mentality? Something's changed. Do you know what I mean by that, though? Like,
I agree with him, to be fair.
You can't throw that at the players because they've won everything right, but on this season they're no dealing with stuff. And I don't know what that's doing to
you. Slaney, you have all the success in the world for so long, right? And that's all you know. The minute it goes the other way, if you've not experienced that or know how that feels, you don't know how people react to it. So is it a case of the players haven't become poor over the course of one season? The dynamics have changed. You've got a Rangers team that have went top of the league and they've pushed on. Celtic's tried to catch them. They've not been able to catch them. Then they start reading things that are negative for the first time in 8-9 years. Then they start maybe looking at things that a wee bit more stick. How does their character deal with it? There's all these things that can be added into the equation.
But I think last season they answered all the questions. I think the Christmas break, Rangers would have went tap if they'd won and Celtic came back flying. Do you know what I mean? So they did that mentally. I mean, but it's just whatever. This season's just...
confidence is massive.
Of course it is. And I think that's confidence what Zap is massive. You're saying there, like, last season, Celtic came back flying. If you say what I said there at the beginning and go put that on the Rangers players last season, did they just crumble because of a lack of confidence at Christmas time? Had they been mentally stronger and been able to keep that momentum up, they probably would have won the league last season, potentially.
John Kennedy said, best team, was that a wee bit of mind games you didn't get into the cup?
I think so.
I think there was quite a lot made about that, but it's like,
if I'm the manager of any team, I'm saying
I've got the best team.
Of course you are.
But then you're also saying, well, if you've got the best players, why are you 20 points behind? Somebody's not been doing their job properly.
I know.
I mean, but what else are you going to say? Do you know what I mean, really? So I'm going to come out and say, Rangers are the best team in the league. I think a lot of it was made. John Kennedy's comments might be tongue in cheek because the fact of the matter is Rangers are 20 points ahead, but he'll still feel with the players he's got going into an Old Firm game.
Aye.
Right, I'm doing my job, but we've got the better team. We're going to try and go and win the game.
Slaney, how that performance with Laxalt, how close is he to looking for flights to Amsterdam and Glasgow Airport with a pair of flip-flops on there right now?
He's close.
He'd be currently walking about there right now.
He's in Amsterdam right now,
signing. My goodness.
Any place you could recommend for him?
I could sign, but I cannot say it live
on air. Mourinho's been sacked. We'll talk about it a bit later. But people on social media linking him with Celtic. You'd take Mourinho in a minute, wouldn't you? Oh, Celtic.
100%.
Would he take the job?
Oh, he's going to struggle to get a job, surely, now, isn't he?
I think he'd still get an Italian, like an Italian.
But wages, you're Italian not going to be able to match his wages he's ever been on, aren't you?
He's on an absolute fortune, isn't he?
It'd be brilliant for the league, though, wouldn't
it? It'd be amazing.
It'd be brilliant.
Think Kev, any chance? Nah.
He's got a great record, but for me, nah, no Scottish football.
I thought Rafa Benitez was an unrealistic shout, but Mourinho's.
Any chance Eddie Howe doing
anything? I know, Eddie Howe needs to get his finger in, doesn't he?
Uh-huh. Because, chief, he's waiting for 1 second for a Premier League club, cross him off. Celtic's bigger than any of them.
But why, if he's the best candidate?
Simon, if he's fucking about, Celtic are much bigger
than him. But see, as a case, though, Paul, when he comes up to here, say he is waiting and he doesn't get any club, he's not going to try any harder because he was waiting for a Southampton job.
Yeah,
he's still going to get his lot when he comes up to
take him all day long,
eh? No, but you need to look at it from Eddie Howe's point of view as well, because he's not a Celtic fan.
So we don't understand.
We don't know what
exactly
was going through his head, but I'm sure when he comes up here, whether it was his first choice or second choice, he'll still get the same.
That's a fantastic point. I feel that you knew I was going to ask you that.
But for me now, it could only be Eddie Howe now. He's only realistic target for me.
He's definitely the favourite, don't you say? I think Celtic have shown over the last sort of 6 weeks that he's their number one priority.
Your mate sitting next to you was saying Kennedy.
Think so?
John Kennedy and Sean Maloney, double
that. Still want it?
Well, if Eddie Howe doesn't take the job, who else is going to be out there? I don't know if John Kennedy is the right man, but I don't like the comments people say when managers leave and saying you need to get John Kennedy, because he's a coach and assistant. You deal with the manager is the final say, and it's what his is. So a coach can only do so much. Mm. You know what I mean? And I don't like putting that on a coach. He's a different man when he's the manager. It's all him.
I totally get it, but do you know, like, for himself, he should go and try and do his own thing somewhere.
Well, if he's going
to, do you want to go back to being a coach again after being?
No, that's what I'm saying. If he was going, I wouldn't stay if he was going to be the coach. But if he gets offered the first team manager's job, take it.
Oh yeah.
But then Eddie Howe doesn't take it. Apart from Kennedy, who else is out there? Are we going to look at domestically? Jack Ross, is he in there? I don't know.
Kev,
come on! I need words. I need names, guys.
You know what?
I need names. You're about. You're there.
Me and the Jet could do it. Me and the Jet might get Billy in as assistant.
Can I say, boys? Can I say? And I'm not just saying this, right? And I do love licking his bum. You know I love sucking up to you, right? And I've always done it, and I'll date with people.
Is he coming for me here?
No, no. This guy is genuinely...
Shut up. Right, fucking forget. Next move on. Right,
no,
any other
name? No, I'm finish. Don't interrupt him.
Mate, no word to lie. Probably one of the best, the most I've ever learned speaking to somebody about coaching, the way he delivers.
But you've not spoken to anybody.
No, but I've been in the game.
So that's why you're the most.
No, but that's I've been obviously when I play for it, we'll
be a coaching team at us. Like, we'll be good together.
No, we'll be good together. You're too humble that way. But listen, I don't want to go and embarrass the guy. But my God,
Nathan Patterson, should he go to Euros?
Aye.
Should he go to Euros?
On the plane?
No.
Is that even a question?
Oh yes, so don't you go then? Slaney, fight amongst yourselves.
Come on,
Slaney, how not?
Slaney, before you say it,
who's been the best midfielder, Scottish midfielder in the league this season? David Turnbull, is he gone? No.
No, he's
loyalty.
Not.
No,
I didn't make a joke.
To be honest, David Turnbull's going to go. Jack's up for the years now, so he's probably going to go. But come on, Nathan Patterson's got to go. I think the question is, should he be starting? Never mind, is he gone?
Are you accepting that?
Well, the reason is the right back position in Scotland isn't very strong. So that's where you'd maybe favour. But listen, the boy's done very well.
Nathan Patterson goes and Nathan Patterson should play. I don't care what anybody says. I've got nothing against Stephen Donald.
He's done well for Scotland,
right? But see, at the end of the day, you're going to the Euros for the first time in 22 years, whatever it is, 24 years. We've got to take our best players. Nathan Patterson, for me, comes in that category, in the position that he plays. The way he's performing for Rangers, regardless of whether he's 18 years or old, whatever he is, the guy's a talent. Mm. And age is nothing. Experience is nothing. That
Jet
boy
shows
can fit
that every week, doesn't he?
Exactly, Simon. He will fit in there.
He has been excellent.
And would not let the national side down at all. And see, if anything, it's good that there is a wee bit of competition there at right back with him pushing Stephen O'Donnell, because Stephen O'Donnell's had that burst to himself because there hasn't been anybody else to come in. Mm.
It gives
the balance of the team a proper right back in there. There's none of this having to.
But they don't really play a right back.
I know they don't,
which I think suits him.
Which suits him, I think he's
Patterson, yeah.
I think he's far better going forward.
Did you say there was only a place for either a Patterson or a Forrest? Who are you taking?
Oh, you're taking James Forrest. No, but seriously, that's not even a question.
It won't be a question because in terms of the squad, he'll not take three right wing backs. If he's going to play 4-3-4-3.
So who's the three right wing
backs? You're saying that as if he's a right wing back.
He's going to play for Scotland, that's where he'll play.
Who?
Against who?
Right wing back.
You're going to play James Forrest right wing back against England? Mate, I told you 100 times, I rate James Forrest. He's played 2 games, mate. He came back and played 2 games. He's injured again.
But I'm saying if he does
Nathan
go, that's
been unbelievable
be position,
for 6 weeks.
That's the position he'll be going
Why? He could play the Ryan Fraser one, but just playing off a striker.
I don't think he will for. I don't
will
think
for?
I don't,
fuck's
I don't that? Think, I think James Forrest will play there for Scotland.
I wouldn't see why no.
If James Forrest is going to the Scotland squad, he's going is that in that position. That's where he's playing.
James Forrest in an ideal world goes to Euros as well, 100%. But the question about Nathan Patterson, should he be going? Come on. I was going to say, Steve Clarke's done an unbelievable job at Scotland. He deserves all the credit he's got. And I think his loyalty to his players is a good trait. I think it's something that's needed, especially in national team football. But I think he missed a trick, no taking Tumble and Nathan Patterson in the last squad to get them in, see how they coped with a couple of good competitive games against Austria, who's in like a fucking Israel for the 18th time, and see how they cope with it. But all Nathan Patterson's done since that squad is show that he should be there.
Played well, yeah.
The Europa League games, knew his first Old Firm game, when he's been flung in the deep end, like I've said, he's not played any men's football until this, and he's standing out. For me, he's got to go.
So my next question was going to be, if you'd let us ask it, would you take Forrest and Patterson and no take Stephen O'Donnell? Could you do that?
No, you couldn't do that because of Stephen O'Donnell, what he's done, helped getting the country there in the first place, because we had some tricky ties, the Serbia match and stuff, and they stood up and they played well. But I wouldn't say that Stephen O'Donnell playing for Motherwell right now is sending out wow factors. Like, he signed another deal for somebody that's done well for Scotland, and nobody's trying to take him away anywhere. He's just signed an extension to stay on at Motherwell for me. So for me, Stephen O'Donnell, yep, thanks very much, but I would like to take... You play friendlies before the Euros.
Yeah.
You always organise friendlies.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Take Patterson, give him a shot and make an opinion. Sometimes in football, loyalty is great, but you've got to be ruthless.
Yeah.
See,
you can't tiptoe around things.
Who's the other right back? Liam Palmer.
See, the thing is, right, you need to take 26 in the initial pool and it gets cut to 23. So it's going to be hard. There's going to be people who need to be left out. You're saying you can't take three wing backs, even though Forrest isn't a wing back. They're taking three left wing backs.
Taylor. But one of them also plays centre-back.
Agreed, but James Forrest can also play somewhere different. That's it. Like, when you're, in my opinion, I'm not a national manager, but if you're planning a squad of 23 players, you need players that can play in two, three positions. James Forrest can do that.
Do you need to take three goalkeepers still?
Aye.
Is that a thing? You have to take three goalkeepers? Can we not just ditch a goalie because we're heavy with goalies?
But with
we've got Craig Gordon and David Marshall, that's fine.
With Ryan Jack, you know, he'll be calling up in our centre-half because McTominay will come into the midfield.
McTominay will play right at back three. Yeah.
Even that Jack's out? I don't. I think McTominay will be in the middle.
Right, and what, take Jack Henry?
I think he might. He'll be thinking of a centre-half because if McTominay's now going to go into that, where he plays for Man United in the middle of the park.
James Forrest could play centre-half. Obviously,
Forrest in there. As you said, many positions he can play this, but...
We need to actually sit down and write our squads. What do you think? Who makes the cut? Who doesn't make the cut?
See, another thing though, right? You're saying Jack Henry. Why is Jack Henry in the discussion? Because Steve Clark brought him up in the last squad to give him a chance, and he's in the discussion. That's what he should have done with Turnbull and Patterson. Because he knows that he's going to take a certain amount of players. Obviously, he still needs to take them at this squad because it was still qualifying games. But it would have been good to see these players in the squad to see if he can go with it. Instead of like Palmer, who's not going to play, who wasn't going to play the last two games, or players in that category. So take Nathan Patterson, take Turnbull to see.
It's been out.
Cool. But for me, Turnbull's going to go.
I would take Patterson. I just need to ask the questions, mate.
But if
Jack is out, here's another question for you. Do you take Turnbull or do you take Forrest?
He might not take either or.
Turnbull, aye.
He might not take either or, Simon. Because if McTominay's going to step into the midfield, that takes your centre half out and he's going to replace him with a centre half. That was my thinking behind that.
So there's a good chance that either Turnbull, Forrest or Patterson will go
see,
to the
other. See, the thing I would be thinking as Steve Clark would be James Forrest has come back and played two and a half games.
Yeah.
And he's injured again.
He was outstanding.
Right, forget that. He's injured again.
And he got Scotland to the Euros.
He's injured again. Right, we've got four league games left?
Four.
He's got to play those four games to prove that he's fit enough to go to the Euros. You can't, if he doesn't play,
especially after missing such a long period
of time. It's not as if he's missed 6 weeks and he's come back. He's missed about 6-7 months. He's come back, played 2.5 games. Yes, very good. That's the quality that he has. But when you're going to the Euros and you've got this dilemma where you take potentially Patterson, you take extra players in because other ones are in, if you're taking James Forrest, I think you have to take him to play.
To play in a higher position.
So you can't take him just to be a squad player because I think I genuinely think that James Forrest goes because of what he's done at the beginning of the campaign.
And what he can do come off the bench.
And what he can do. I just think his fitness levels is a question. This will go out and people think, okay, Kevin Cowell thinks that James Forrest shouldn't. It's not that. You've got to ask these questions. Mm-hmm. Of his fitness levels, is he going to be?
I don't worry about what people.
Ideally, a fully fit James Forrest flying. But it's like I was saying, Rangers and Celtic. Scotland are going to get pumped possession wise against England, Czech Republic. You're not going to play James Forrest right wing back. So you can't be. You can't take a slot of 23 for a plan in mind to play James Forrest as right wing back. I can't be a viable.
Surely Patterson would only come in the discussion with Palmer. Who goes, is it Palmer or Patterson?
But I'd agree with you, but see, even out with people who spoke about, see, like the likes of Callum Patterson, I love him, but Ollie McBurnie, Lorne Shanklin, like these are other boys that are going to be in this discussion. It's not just going to be a swap for swap, it's players that can potentially play two or three different positions because you're going to need every single player.
But if I was thinking about Patterson, then I would be thinking, right, O'Donnell's going to start for me, so who am I taking for my backup right back? Is it Patterson or Palmer?
I'd take Nathan Patterson, but I still think Stephen O'Donnell will start. Because he has done well for Scotland. Steve Clark, we've seen how loyal he is towards his players. So I think he will play.
He plays Ryan Fraser, so we're talking about James Forrest not playing there, but he plays Ryan Fraser in that right wing back.
Against Faroe Islands at home and that.
Nowhere near as effective, do you know what I mean?
I don't want Steve Clark's headache, to be honest, because we are moaning about not even getting to the Euros.
It's a good headache not to have.
We'll sit down one week and write down our squads.
Right, we'll do that soon.
I would do it,
Been, by the way, a fascinating show so far. I feel it's an inch away from a kick-off, innit?
So a breakdown.
Breakdown for something.
Well, an inch away from a lax-out.
It's going to be very close to something happening soon.
And what do you think is going to happen? Are you going to be involved?
You still be lying on the ground.
Right, we've spoken about Kev on the telly. Were you impressed with Hibs, Kevin?
I know that I'm not going to disrespect
just
you.
Say
no.
Yes.
Just say I'm big, man.
It's not really Hibs because I was in my hearts, man. But Stranraer, it's no disrespecting Stranraer, but Stranraer League 2, aiming for playoffs, played a lot of games, a lot of travelling recently. So in terms of cup upsets, it was a banana, potential banana skin for Hibs. But first 10 minutes each half, Schnard did a wee bit, but Hibs played some right good football. See the three up front, Doidge, Nisbet and Boyle. Very good, very good by you. See, yeah. Nisbet, clever. Very, very clever.
Take him in a minute. I would take him in a minute.
Mate, he could have scored a hat-trick easy yesterday. He'll be raging if he ever had a hat-trick.
He'll be raging if he got a hat-trick.
He'll be raging if I got a hat-trick. Boyle, he's fast. Mm-hmm. He's very fast. Doidge is like that focal point who kind of does all the dirty work that allows Nisbet.
Doidge ball.
But and like I said, the big boy Portis, he's decent. Who else was decent? The boy, the left back, the one that's potentially...
Doig.
He's got,
is he good, Kev?
Aye. Yes, yeah. He he's very good.
Very
How is Jackson Oven? Was he playing?
Needs to shave his tash, don't like it.
I like it.
No liking it.
He's cool, isn't he? Uh-huh. Was, who else was playing? Was good? Anybody stand out for you in the midfield?
Aye. What do you call
what
him?
What type of, what was the Hibs style?
It was very Jack Ross-like.
What was it? What is that? What is Jack Ross like?
Just pass.
Is it a lot of passing? Was it?
What I liked was they did a lot of passing, like the back four, the back three, I think they played the back three, Hanlon, Portis and I can't remember the other boy, but it was in and out, and seeing that opportunity was to go longer and a diag, they did it quite well. A lot of good balls in the channel, a lot of nice running off the diags. So like there was an opportunity in the first half where I think it was Doig hit a nice diag to Boyle and then McGinn came third man running, had a great opportunity. So they look like a team with a bit of confidence.
How were they in the third phase?
Third phase. They didn't need to be in the third phase because the first phase they were very good and the second phase they were too sharp. So
how were they on transition? How were they on transition?
Transition, they didn't need really, the transition was from the Schnarr put them under a bit of pressure in the first 10 minutes and it was a bit of hoofball back and forth trying to find their feet. Right. So in second transition, Hibs just realised.
No, I mean transition when they gave the ball away, how did they react?
They didn't give the ball away too much, Simon. They just kept control of it. So
and Kev,
didn't really look at that.
It was your first game, innit? It was your first game with it was the first game with any fans you've seen live, innit? Was it?
I'll tell you a bit on that. There was more fans in there yesterday than Schnarr's ever had. There was a few jump defence. There was a few dressed up in yellow steward jackets. Schnarr's got a committee membership of about 75, so they were all in.
How did the Jet get in? Would he dress up as?
Well, the Jet came in as a ball
boy. Did he get in?
He came in as a ball boy.
Was he a ball boy?
He was.
No chance.
He did. He came in as a ball boy. He came in as the ball, but.
Was it weird, the atmosphere? Was it weird seeing him ball boy?
It was all right. It was actually quite good because.
Was it shorts he wore ball
boy? Fucking boys, honestly. He's asking me a million questions, right? To see if I sat down and did the reverse. He'd fall like a deck of cards.
Absolutely. Right, here we go. This man's got something to get off his ginger chest. It's the European Super League. So, six teams, English Premier League teams. Tell us who they are. Man City, Man United, Chelsea. Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham.
Aye. But you may as well fucking chuck in Crystal Palace and that and then on West Brom.
We'll come to Arsenal and Tottenham getting in there. You've got Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus, Inter Milan. I've declared the intention to join a breakaway.
Bayern and Dortmund have come out this morning.
And no, they're not doing it.
But I think they'll be
persuaded. Why, by the way?
Persuaded.
Why?
Because Germans don't care about money as much as the rest.
They won't be persuaded, because they're 51% owned by fans and fans don't want it.
When I first heard that, I thought, disgrace, because I thought they were getting taken out of the leagues, which means domestically the leagues would suffer so badly. Right? But it's no, they're staying in the leagues. And for Gary Neville to come out there and nearly greeting and everybody saying Gary Neville's a legend, what he's coming out with. The Premier League, which he hasn't been involved in years, is the richest league in the whole wide world. No league in the world can compete with it. We look at Scotland. Scottish teams, Celtic Rangers, can't compete with championship clubs. But now, because of their league's going to get affected, he's coming out and saying it's a disgrace. Every other league suffered. Scotland can't compete. I mean, we look at Aberdeen, no got a penny to spend. Do it in England, Simon. That league, as I said, is the richest league in the world. But now, because their league's going to be affected, maybe, with these teams coming out. Now, I think the Champions League had to be a change. And UEFA are obviously running different. But since 2004, Monaco and Porto were in the Champions League final, Simon. And since then, not any other team, apart from the Super League teams, have made the final. So we all talk about this. The Champions League, the powerhouses always win it anyway. So the Champions League doesn't help sort of smaller clubs. Not at all. You know what I mean by that? It's always the big teams winning anyway. They've still got all the biggest money. I don't know. I'm not being clear what I'm trying to.
No, no. Listen, I get what you're saying, and I think
there probably could be a scope for a revamp of the Champions League, but fuck me, this is not the answer. This is not the answer.
Why do you like it?
See, if this happens, right, it's the start of the end of football, 100%. What, so we're just going to not be competitive now and we're all going to join
the relegation?
We're all going to just join this league and have a glamour friendly every year. See, the issue is, right, and listen, I can understand that football clubs, it still is a business, but all it is now is just investment portfolios for people with multi-billions for China and Arab countries in America. Yeah. And now we're just trying to, I almost want to say Americanized football, where everything's just a show now. So we're just going to have these glamour friendlies, all the European teams, and no care about our domestic football. Where's the competitiveness in football? We all grew up wanting to play football. We all grew up dreaming of winning leagues and winning cups. And so we're going to just leave that to go to this. That's and you're saying, aye, we're going to stay in our leagues. But
do you think it'll be like B teams that will play in the leagues? So they keep their strong?
I don't know, but this is just a joke.
But their argument is that they're not changing. They're going away for the UEFA Champions League. They're going away for that. It's nothing to do with domestically, they're saying.
Why though?
They say they don't like the run. They've been trying to speak to them for years and years at UEFA.
Well, they don't like it, but they got all the advantages of getting four teams in the tournament.
Exactly. They're the one, they actually benefit more than anyone. Mm. All they're doing this for is for money. That's the only reason, which is why I'm saying the people that, see your Man U's and your Liverpool's and the English clubs that are in that was still built by working class people.
Aye.
But now it's just getting ruined by the rich. Like, none of these, what affiliation do the Manchester Glazer family have with Man United? What do they know how?
Like the reason
that are brought up the streets of Manchester to go and follow the club up and down the country for the last 100 years.
Like the football thing was that you had your team, you supported them, and a chairman and a board of directors would think of ways to make more money, to make their team successful, to try and challenge to win trophies. This isn't the case. This is a case of, let's go and have our own league. But it's going to be backed by JP Morgan, who's obviously a big, massive investment company bank. Somebody was telling me, the stats I was reading this morning was that if you win the Champions League this year, you're looking at about 120 million kind of revenue for winning the Champions League. The 15 founder clubs of this Super League are going to guarantee themselves 230 million without even being relegated. So it's just a finance thing. It's a case of...
That's all it is.
Yeah. It's just a case of, let's get this... So for me, when you do... think of the pre-seasons when we go and do Man City fly to China for the money for the, and they play a Man United, and it's, we know Man City's play Man United in China in August or July, whenever it is they hit the pre-seasons. It's shite to watch. That's what this is going to be like, because there's no, the only dangling carrot at the end of it is money.
I love it.
It's just ching ching. Whereas the Champions League is that glamour friendlies, but it means something because they're trying to win the Champions League.
The competitive spirit of football is gone if this happens.
Right. They're still trying to get it. Like they're making this. They want to make this the most competitive thing. They're trying to make this like almost like the Super Bowl in America.
Exactly. The Super Bowl in America. What the fuck? What's competitive about the Super Bowl?
Why did you use that example?
It's true though.
But the good thing about Champions League is that you need to go through so many ties to win it. Whereas you're playing.
But how can you say something's competitive if you can't get relegated? All you can do is win it.
That's the part that's really awful. But see, as a club, it's amazing to say, oh, you've won the European Cup. What is it to say, oh, I've won the European Super League like that?
Fundamentally, these clubs that are for the domestic leagues have just got absolutely no regard whatsoever about the rest of the teams in their league, the rest of the teams in their country. And see for me, right? See, it didn't happen. See, if I'm the European Super League, I'm sitting at Tottenham and Arsenal. What fucking God-given right have you got getting in here? Like, you're 12th and 8th in your league. Why should you be in a European Super League? Mbappe, Haaland, all these players, now you're in this European Super League. So you're creating this league to get all the best players to play against each other, and the best ones aren't even got.
Like, the best football stories are like Leicester won in the Premier League.
Exactly.
It's the spirit
of football.
That'll go.
It's the fairy tale stories.
And the fact of the matter is, people are saying, Bayern Munich turned it down. German clubs have turned it down because they're owned by fans. Yeah, the majority shareholder are their fans. See, if it was up to Man U fans and Liverpool fans, you think they're gone? Of course they're not.
No, they didn't want the fans.
I think it just highlights the fact that the clubs don't care about their fans, these clubs.
I'm playing... Oh, 100% of it.
They don't care.
Nah. Kevin, I'm playing devil's advocate, right? And what I'm saying is, since this has come out, I've not heard anything about it positive. So I want to look right into it.
Have you done that? Have you looked right into it?
I've been trying.
and I've been struggling there. I've saved, been through it.
But Gary never was angry, wasn't he?
But what I'm saying is,
I thought it was brilliant, mate.
But surely with people then, you would say, why are Man City allowed to spend all that money then? Because
that financial fair play, weren't it? They got.
But this is the reason
they got. Man City were a nutting club though.
Not a nutting club, but
they never won it. And then they went and spent billions and billions and now they're winning everything.
But the thing is
that fair for other teams?
Is that
fair for your likes of your other small clubs, Bournemouth and stuff, that they can't go and win the league?
Stanislas is on a lot of money.
This is less fair. That's actually less fair. So you're actually saying for fair play, let's change it, but you're actually
doing it, Andy, because like they don't like financial fair play because they're restricted to what they can do with their money. Whereas this just basically says
free for all,
go and spend what you want. Offer.
But see, the Champions League is still like, listen, I'm genuinely not sticking up for this, but what I'm saying is the Champions League, the big clubs, it favours them anyway. They're still at the very top, winning it every single year. I mean, the teams that spend the most money, I've got the billionaire owners, are always the one at the end. You never get, I mean, the last was 2004 when you get Porto and Monaco. But since then, it's still been all these big clubs. You know what I mean?
But while it's like the way it is now, there's still always that hope and belief that somebody will win the Champions League that isn't the norm. Like, so when Leicester won the Premier League.
Spurs nearly won it, didn't they?
Spurs got to the final last, was it last year?
Last year,
2 years
ago. They're a Super League
but
team.
But when you take that away, then nobody's ever going to have a hope of winning it.
But if it does happen, we should be the podcast that covers it.
But see, Jen,
it's going to be the best of the
night. Hated before he's been hated.
Did you hear where the meeting took place? Biggest host in Europe.
That's probably why I came to this conclusion. But I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what the managers and the players come out and say. I can't wait.
Just check Herrera to PSG's came out and says it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Well, brilliant. Good on them, right?
But
PSG have said no.
I know.
I want to see Man U players. I want to see Liverpool players. I want to see what they've got to say.
Probably the richest club. It's weird that they've said no. Why is that?
Well, because they realise it's a fucking joke.
Oh, they're rubbish.
For a start.
When I first heard it, I thought it was they were making a league. So that was the league you're going to compete in every single week when you play your domestic. But the way they're almost saying it is if it's not, it's just a different almost format of the Champions League. You don't want to be running the UEFA anymore.
See, it doesn't happen, right? Which I don't think it will happen now because of the backlash from like fans and players.
I know, but the big banks backed it.
How do these big clubs get the respect of their fans back on board?
I know. Man U fans and that must be living.
You imagine Celtic or Rangers decided to say, obviously they're not invited to the party. Imagine they were invited to the party.
Look at this at the bigger picture, right? See this happened, right? So we're saying that the Champions League isn't as exciting. You don't see the likes of Porto and Monaco getting to the final, right? Let me paint a picture, right? So we've got a league here. Say it's 12 games, they play each other twice, it's 12 games. Tottenham lose their first five games. Tottenham play Atletico Madrid. Wait, they can't get relegated. They can't finish in a playoff spot to get in. Are you going to watch Tottenham against Atletico 7 game weeks in when they've not won a game?
How are you feeling?
Are you going to watch it?
So, Andy, how are you feeling as a player with nothing to play for?
Exactly.
But Sky have also got a brass neck as well, because Sky
have got a brass neck. That's a very good point.
Listen, 100%, Sky... they need to have a good look at themselves as well with the charging fans and stuff like that. But see the backlash that happened for that, and they never end up doing it.
No.
So at least they listened.
Yeah.
But still, I agree with you. Like you just said, Bundesliga, that's why it's the best run league in the world. Mm-hmm. See, the lowest ticket prices, every single stadium sold out all the time. Yeah. They're sold to the capacity. I think every club in the Bundesliga, this might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure every club in the Bundesliga except for Leipzig is. Is majority fan majors. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And then you look at, like you said, what was it, £15 a week or a month?
Watch the games during the pandemic.
See the greed and money in terms of this is what they're doing it for, because it's no other option, it's money. Why do the Premier League no jig their TV deals? So instead of selling the rights to likes of BT, Sky and all these companies for billions, why don't they just sell the rights themselves? So when you buy your £80 a month Sky package, you're only buying it because you want to watch the football or the golf or the sports channels.
And obviously
the adult movies at the end of 12 o'clock or the watershed. But why don't they sell the rights individually for each individual game? So you get 4 games a month for £20. People would rather just pay £20 a month to watch the four games they needed to watch. And see, by that revenue, that would be more than any TV deal that BT or Sky could throw at them.
Wow.
I know it will be.
The one thing that annoyed me the most,
was
the thing that Arsenal made 55 people redundant 2 months ago.
Honestly, I've just put the words out of my mouth. Like, what a fucking cheat they've got. Seriously, what a cheat they've got.
That was the thing that really annoyed me.
Why are Arsenal in it? How can you be a big club if you're finishing 12th in the league for the last fucking 5 years?
I know, like, Arsenal.
He's coming back.
For the Champions League, this is what we're saying. We're saying it's fairness, right? Celtic, who won the league, have to play 3 qualifiers every year to get in, but you're getting 4 English teams in. Mm. So the Champions League's no fair.
Because
you get the big money. And the Premier League, for them to be standing there, get out of the Premier League, they're the fucking richest club in the world. They don't give a fuck about any other league. So...
See the old Champions League. Rejig the Champions League, but you've got to start making it a wee bit fairer.
You didn't want rejigging here.
I know, they've got to make it fairer for, say, like Scotland.
That's going, forget that fairness, because it's not going to happen. The Champions League's no fair. The big, rich clubs win it.
I'm speaking, I've got a point. Sorry, sir. clubs like Celtic, who have won the Champions League back in a different era, that must stand for something in our game, whereas Rangers have won the league this year, but have to play maybe 3-4 games to get where this fucking Arsenal or Tottenham finish fourth and go straight into a group stage. Why do Celtic and Rangers not go straight into a group stage? We've got more credibility in European football than they two have. I just fucking
think I don't hear anybody moaning when we've got teams like Aberdeen, Hibs and stuff who have no got a penny, and then you've got League One teams down in England that are taking Aberdeen and that's players after
players,
them because they can't compete.
Gary Neville, Salford.
Do you know what I mean? I don't hear them moaning about that.
Aberdeen paid them
because it's the English league. What about the Scottish League? We don't care about that.
I'm glad your league is the way it is up here. At least we know our identity. We know what we're doing. Fans pay their money and the clubs appreciate the money that the fans pay. Because we need
honest, Jake, players don't want it?
No.
Big players?
No. No way. No way.
Why not?
No way. Well, and what, to play a friendly against Real Madrid every week?
End of your career, I say to you, what did you win your career? I won fucking 6 Super Cups or whatever, Super Leagues. What happened? I didn't need to get relegated. I just gave it 6 attempts. It's like a fucking raffle.
And by the way, you're saying players on the benefit financially after this? Or they won't? They'll just say they'll still be on big contracts that are on the now in the Premier League. So, Andy Robertson and Henderson, the likes of that, when you see them win the Champions League last year, do you think they're going to be the same if they win the European Super League? How can this happen under anyone's nose?
Under my watch.
And. I mean, it's came out. Is it right? And it's came out saying that players, you're not allowed to play in the. You can't play in the. You're banned for the World Cup and stuff like that. Taking the part. That's what I'll be interested to see now in the build up. Obviously, the next few days when managers and players actually come out and speak on it, because it'll be interesting to see if they go against. Because they're not going against the club. They're going against the owners. Because the clubs don't even want it.
But Mike Dean's going to head up the rest of it. European firm together.
Whatever he decides, it will happen.
I think you'll have the deciding.
You have whatever he decides, that's what they'll
decide.
Did you
see him yesterday before the game? I thought he was chewing. But it was glass, mate. He's actually just chewing glass before he loves it.
But you know what? My last point in this. Do you know what I hate? And I really hate it, right? And I love people's passion and stuff. But see, you've got to hear everything about it. So we want to know what they're saying. We want to know. And Gary and I will just come on slot. And all. That's fine. But there should be somebody on Sky asking questions about other stuff.
The other side. Like how Debbie is.
Exactly, side. You know what I mean? And listen, and then we can make up our mind to see exactly where it is. And I don't like that we should be seeing it all, Simon. And that was what my role was today. I'm totally against it.
The way you meant that.
You're asking
me. I genuinely don't know. But I just want to find out everything. Because I do think there's a lot of. The Premier League suits itself, and every other league suffers. Scotland is. It's shocking that clubs have to go through, and all the English clubs are fine. Eh? He's talking about League One teams getting relegated, Conference team need to go out of business. We're talking about top league teams having maybe to go out of business. Can't spend any money, wages, staff gone. So it's fine like that, but why don't you sell your Premier League money to us and help the British leagues out? So it's all right when it comes to England, but when it's our country, it doesn't matter.
Not really Gary Neville's job to look out for us. He's involved in the English league.
No, but I'm saying he's talking about all this about it's shocking Man United and all that. Growing up as workers at the club, they're spending billions every single year.
I know, but without the workers at the beginning, they wouldn't be Man United. That's what his point was. Aye. His point was is that the Man United started with working men in the Manchester area who formed a football club.
And working class cities.
Working class cities. So it was the working class man that went to work Monday to Friday. There was a game on Saturday, they'd pay whatever they could in the wee, and then the club has grown. Whereas now it's not about that fundamental of the fans. Now it's about, we don't need you as fans. Because as long as we are showing it on the telly, you're just going to pay the money and we get what we want.
I thought
it's become,
it's a smokescreen tour. He's just angry that Phil's his brother.
He's just thinking like he was going to get Salford from where they were at the Premier League, and now it's going Champions to fucking.
I thought Gary Neville's speech yesterday was brilliant.
Did you? Brilliant. Rio Ferdinand was just as good.
He copied Gary Neville for
that. He was.
Do you know what I thought?
I was saying, listen, thinking. Just fucking heard that 5 minutes ago.
Do you know what I thought was bang on though when he was saying that, like, if you're a big club, act like a big club? He was like, man, you haven't acted like a big club for the last. I thought it was bang on because it's true. And then when he came, I love the fact that he got that wee dig in about Liverpool in the end as well, when he was just like, Liverpool fans, you'll never walk alone. Don't get me started. I love that because at the end of the day, Liverpool fans probably don't want it either.
No, fans are definitely not wanting it.
So what would happen?
Would you obviously, your away games would be flights to Milan and that to go watch your team play away.
How
much money is that going to cost fans?
No, that's no, they're not thinking about fans.
It's not actually that far of a trip. You know what I mean? You think about it, you travel like 3 hours every weekend to Peterhead.
Yeah.
Jumping a flight to Milan for an hour and a half.
I know, but it's for fans.
The price I'm talking about.
I know, but
by the time you go to WH Smith, get a couple of magazines.
This is the whole thing. This is the whole thing with the cost. It's like, when the money comes in, what ends up happening is the infrastructure that needs built. It's the things that need to accommodate this. So then you'll see more flights on. It's our money. Everything's related to it.
Plus, I mean, they'll see it as if, okay, does it really cost any different anyway because you're doing it in the Champions League. But it's even like the glamour of being the glamour of Hearts playing Liverpool in the qualifiers. The glamour of football. Potential cup sets, potential cup shocks. Game's gone, mate.
That was a very angry
Simon,
show.
What's the Champions League called?
European Cup.
No, Champions Money League. Champions League, innit? Champions League.
And what, so why is there fourth place teams, is that what you're going to say?
Why is there fourth place teams? Because it's a horrendous. Four teams in England, qualifying, but a team at Celtic who have been unbelievable in the world of football for years, the style they play and all that, and they need to do three qualifiers.
They want the style of playing that?
See, before we go though, right, I need Murphy's about Arsenal Tottenham. What's happening here?
Because it came through the big six in England, and I'm thinking, who is that? And then they said, Tottenham. The fuck?
Fucking Tottenham.
Arsenal are 12th, mate.
They're fucking muck.
Or something.
Arsenal are muck. They got beat for Fulham.
The Arsenal owners, the American boy.
The Cronkies.
Aye, so they're all involved.
But how the fuck are they even getting an invite to the party, mate?
Perez, wasn't it? It was the Real Madrid guy who's getting them all involved.
Oh,
is
man.
It Perez? It's
he's the chairman, it all.
Is it?
He's the one that started it all.
Well, they're a European Super League to go on the best players. Rob Holmes at the back.
See, the Real Madrid president, Perez.
Eric Dyer in the
Super League. Kylian Mbappé's at him.
Imagine Mbappé sitting watching Dyer in the Super League.
Boys.
But
the Italian, like Juventus, they've been run by the same family for 90 years. They own Fiat.
Fiat? Who's Fiat? They own Fiat. Have you watched the Juventus documentary?
It's brilliant.
Something like that.
It's brilliant.
But football's fucked. I think fuck we are here.
But sometimes.
But do you think that's got anything to do with Jose leaving? Because there was a rumour that
Jose.
He refused.
I hope so, but I doubt it.
I would love her, Mourinho, that's why.
So would I.
Takes a brave man to stick his neck in the line when everybody's against him. And what I've done today, it's not my thoughts, but I've put that out there for everybody to have a discussion. Because if it wasn't for me, Simon, everybody would just be
agreeing.
It would be easy to do it. So listen, it takes a brave man to do what I've done today, didn't it, Andy boy?
I wish we could have recorded.
You've been outstanding today. Can I get rest?
I wish we could have recorded his speech down the stair.
Oh, he was. I thought he was going to come on here and.
I know, like a lot of your points at the start of before we even started filming have not came out of there.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.